Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Nick Cummins, the honey badger, was in Perth.
Hey, what happened when you went back for seconds relationship-wise?
What got in the way of your wedding?
And the ex-PM, Big Mal, calls in.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket.
Fame can be a fickle thing.
Oh, tell me about it.
Comes and goes.
Well, actually, no, I wouldn't know. Tell me. No, really, tell me about
it. Just reading about it here. It's nothing to do with us. I've got to say, and let's be honest, the word fickle sort of sits in a world of reality TV.
Yes.
But former Western Four star Nick the Honey Badger Cummins is learning all about what happens when you've been on a reality TV show or two.
And remind me, who is the Honey Badger?
The Honey Badger is Nick Cummins, the former rugby player who got his nickname in this way.
Long story short, there's a documentary on National Geographic or Animal Planet, one of them Fox setups, and this honey badger was going toe-to-toe with a male lion, and it was underneath him, underdog, obviously, but on his back, clawing away. The big fella got his canasters clawed off, and he trotted off around the corner and fell over, and the badger gets back up, and I thought, what an animal, you know, that's impressive.
Yeah, impressive nickname too.
At that point, the country was in love.
Oh, and then the honey badger desperately tried to find him love.
Yes.
By throwing him on The Bachelor and going, you're ready for a committed relationship, aren't you? And he went, I sure am. Oh, hang on, did you mean a relationship with another person that I have to commit to? Oh, my mistake.
Okay, well, you've taken that side.
That's what people thought of him.
Okay,
I don't think he did anything wrong.
No, I don't.
He got to the end of The Bachelor and went, I don't actually like either of you women, and I'd rather not pretend that I do, which I think was legit.
Yeah, so he's upset people because he's sort of altered the rules a little bit, hasn't he? The rules in people's minds of how those shows are meant to end. But let's be honest, he's probably just honest.
And also, it ended months ago. So it's crazy that people are still upset about it.
Well, fast forward or backtrack to 3 a.m. at a local Perth institution.
Uncle Billy's.
Sunday morning just gone?
Yes.
Wow.
One honey badger walks in. Probably had a few sherbets too.
Yeah.
He'd been dry, as it, you know? And had a few and decided he needed a chime.
Careful.
Yeah.
He probably said something like this.
Yeah, mate, oh, buddy. I was like a rat up a drain pipe, one of them runs there, but sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage, actually, when he got up.
Oh, gypsy,
yeah, that's what
gypsy with a mortgage.
That was the quote.
Hey, I'm a pretty special unit.
And the customers were delighted to see a refreshed Nick Cummins. I don't know how refreshed he was, but and they started chanting.
Everyone got excited to see him, but I don't think it was the chant he was looking to hear.
Unfortunately, it was this chant.
He dumped them both.
How embarrassing. And apparently he made a beeline for the manager and they got him into a private dining room.
Yes.
I do feel for him. The guy just wanted to go and get Uncle Billy's late at night, and everyone's tried that in Perth.
Yes.
We've all gone to Uncle Billy's at some stage. Yeah,
everyone needs an Uncle Billy.
Yeah. Poor Honey Badger.
Honey Badger will pay for that for just a little while. But, you know, it could have been a bunch of mates just sitting there or even girls just sitting there having a laugh, because it would have been very funny to have done the chant.
Maybe his feelings are really hurt, because to me, I don't know why he wouldn't just start also laughing at that and then everyone would stop. We'd all have a laugh and continue on with your chicken.
It was probably the bean that broke the bean black bean sauce's back.
honey lemon, I think you're fine.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, the general rule seems to be don't go back to an ex.
Okay, doesn't often work.
People will say, oh, they're an ex for a reason. It didn't work out because, you know, whatever it was, you weren't meant to be together.
And I guess with the passage of time, you forget the bad stuff and you just think about all the good stuff. Is that right? And
if you have enough lonely nights,
yes.
Maybe that's what happens.
Yep.
But why do I feel differently when it's Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp? To me, they sort of seem like an unusual couple to me, but it's more that Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp got together in 2011. Now, Meg Ryan hasn't had a lot of movie success since.
Not for a while.
I mean, she was the it girl for a while, wasn't she?
She was the it girl for so long. And then suddenly everyone was like, no one knows who Meg Ryan is.
Well, then she did a film with Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, look, Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp got together in 2011.
Right.
Yeah. And they had about 3 years together and then they broke up.
Okay.
And then they got back together, had a sneaky get back together in 2017.
Right.
And now they're getting married.
Getting married.
Oh,
that is so sweet.
There you go.
So we say don't go back to an ex, but when people work it out, why does that seem like, you've really succeeded, you've won something, you've done well, we've worked it out? you know, it feels like an extra challenge. Like you've overcome something because it wasn't given to you easily.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, people can change or evolve.
Yep.
And, you know, you make mistakes and you get a little bit older. I see that, what is he, 56? Oh, no, 67, John Cooper Mellencamp.
Yeah,
so, you know, you mellow and you mature. And
this will be his fourth wedding.
Right.
So, you know,
he's had plenty of chances to get it right.
He's had a few goes. I believe they're back together because... This hurt so good when they broke up last time, they might do it again.
Couldn't help it.
It has happened before in entertainment circles because Liz Taylor and Richard Burton must have gotten married. Well, I think they got married twice,
they
but
did.
I'm sure they were together more than that. I think they broke up in 74 or something, got back together the following year, which I find weird.
But come on, let's talk real life, though. I mean, who's doing it in real life? I mean, are you going back to an ex? I've had exes ask me back and I've gone, No.
I don't think it works.
Doesn't work.
Well, you never know. There might be someone out there who's going, work for us, work the treat. In fact, it was better the second time.
Oh, yes.
That's true. I think it's just because I go cold-hearted. Once I cut you out, I'm out. So I don't have a chance to reconcile because I'm just like, oh, who are you again?
Be careful, matches like that would work.
I know. I'm slightly frightened. I was going to say something and then every cell in my body said, no, Matt. Stay silent.
Oh, no. I'm really, really loyal until I'm betrayed.
Yeah, I can tell that.
But have you guys ever got back together with an ex? Well, it hasn't worked out, any of them, because you're married, Clezzy, to the perfect woman. And Matt, you've got the perfect girlfriend at home.
I certainly do. Look, I did have a, you know, many, many moons ago, I had a relationship back in Melbourne and we broke up. And I think one night we had a few drinks and said, should we try again? And it lasted about a week.
Yeah, that's all you had.
Yeah. I did find for a period there when I found myself in times of trouble and I called a couple of old girlfriends.
Mary came to you? Did she have anything good to say?
Called a couple of old girlfriends and got the hang up. So that wasn't very successful.
And you think, what? Why?
Well, I was lonely, mate.
Yeah, no. No, I know why you did it. It's just you can't believe that they're not picking up on you going, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
What have you been doing for the last 6 months?
By the way, we've just had my third and I'm really happy and he's an investment banker. Yeah, great.
Yeah, cool.
Enjoy your life. Yeah.
Well, look, I want to hear the good stories. I want to hear the people who are like Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp and have gone, we separated for a bit. We're back together and we're absolutely smashing this relationship business. We're great at it.
Yeah, no, come over. We'll just hang out and watch a movie.
Oh, drunk booty call from the ex.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp got together in 2011. They broke up 3 years later. They got back together 3 years after that and now they're getting married.
Well, look, it is about timing. I mean, my lovely girlfriend and I, our paths could have crossed so many times.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad we met when we did because I was a bit of a mess. Really.
Oh, you would have botched it up.
I would have ruined it. Yeah,
at the right time.
It happens.
Yeah, well, all the stars sort of lined up.
They did.
We want to know what happened when you went back for seconds. Johnny's in Baldivis. Johnny, what happened for you?
Well, I was a bit of a wild child and a lot of people sort of thought I couldn't be tamed. And I met this woman of my dreams.
Yep.
And look, I was, you know, your average... Yobbo, larrikin, whatever, and she sort of thought, well, what have I got myself into? And she hit the road. Anyway, I went chasing. We've since had, we've been together for near on, 28 years. We've been married since 2014.
Yep.
We've got four beautiful kids.
Aww.
And we couldn't be any happier.
That's wonderful.
We've both had a bit of a rocky path, but... We now own our own home. We've got a beautiful motor car. Four healthy kids.
You're a team, Johnny. You made a good team.
Well, that's if you've got to build the foundations to build on top of, you know.
And did you make some changes? Is that what happened?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I was out of control.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
But it was worth it, Johnny. Now you say you've got everything you wanted.
Look, I was always in trouble fighting, and it was never my fight. It was always someone else's. But I was always making sure someone's going to be looked after.
You were chipping in. Yeah.
It's a good news story now, Johnny. Well done.
You were talking about John Mellencamp, and I mean, you look at one of his albums, Lonesome Jubilee, you know, and to pick up a diamond like... Meg Ryan, that's, you know.
Yeah. He's done all right. Done. Thanks,
and
Johnny.
So have you, buddy. Well done.
Well done, Johnny. Yeah. Johnny was going to say he won Lotto and he looks like Hugh Jackman. It was an ongoing list of envy, wasn't it, really?
Let's go to Kelmscott. Beck, going back with the ex, did it work?
Yeah, it did. So we split up for over 6 years and now we're back together. Just bought our first home and having our first child.
Hey,
Beck,
nice.
Why didn't it work the first time?
I was only 19, so I think we were just too young.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
He was a little bit older. He's 6 years older than I am.
Mm.
So I was just too immature. I just wanted to, you know, go out and party. And then, yeah, 6 years later, it kind of all fell back together.
And what was that first point of contact there, Becca? Had you been in touch all the way through?
No. So he liked one of my photos on my Instagram page.
Right.
So he said he had kept tabs and checked up on me every now and then one day I accidentally pressed the like button.
Oh, God. Wow. All those social media.
All those women who are listening now who have been angry at their boyfriends going, you liked her Instagram page, and the guys are going, it doesn't mean anything. Now the women are going, yes,
yep,
it does.
It does.
Good. But yeah, so all going really well for us now.
Oh, brilliant. Wonderful. Continued Beck. Good luck, Beck. Well done.
Thank you.
Leanne's in Canning Vale. Leanne, tell us about the time you went back for seconds.
Well, we'd been together for 4 years and I'd moved back to stay to be with him and signed up for the package deal. We were engaged, bought a house.
Yep.
And then 3 months out from the wedding, he cancelled.
Okay. Oh, no.
Right.
So we split and we split for a year. And then a year later, he came back sort of saying, nah, can't do this without you. So 2 years later, we got married. We've been together 18 years now. Got
Did the family want to give anything to the second deposit or were they like, no, you're done?
No, we funded ourselves.
And Leanne, I'm interested, when he came back to you, did you sort of feel, you know, sense that he'd changed, that he was ready to commit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I still made him sort of do the hard yards.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, of course. Make him pay a little.
Oh, God, yeah. And, yeah, he'd had counselling and stuff because I was his second wife and
right.
he just had all this shit he hadn't dealt with from the first time round and... So he wasn't ready for it, but thought he was and wasn't, and then he was.
Hey, but Leah, now how long together?
Well, if you don't count the period of away, we've been together 26 years.
You don't count that time.
Wow, 26 years, that's great.
And Leah, did you sort of go quickly the second time towards the actual wedding day? Or, you know, because I'm thinking about that period about 3 months out. Did you want to just drug him to get through that time?
No, we actually had the wedding in our backyard, so there was no getting away from it.
Right.
Ah, well done. Well done. Well played.
No running this time, boy.
Yeah. And I think his friends would have, you know, sort of lynched him the second time round and done it to me again.
Yeah, I bet. Good on you, Leanne. Congratulations.
Okay, thanks.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
This morning we're talking about when things got in the way of your wedding, and this is off the back of this piece in today's West in the inside cover. Sarah was all planning her, you know, her special day.
Mm.
They were getting married in the Swan Valley, and the car that Sarah and her bridal team were, was it bridal team?
Party.
Bridal party. We're driving
bridal team. It does feel like you've got quite the, you know, the Red Bull team behind you trying to arrange it.
Yeah, it is a
squadron.
Okay,
now you got the flowers. All right, go.
Yeah.
Well, they were in the Swan Valley, and the car broke down.
Oh.
Okay?
Yep.
Panic.
Not once. Three times.
That's when Bridezilla kicks in, big time.
Absolutely.
And Groomzilla.
Groomzilla.
Good weather to get out and push.
Oh, yeah. You can imagine Sarah under the hood trying to fix this thing in her finery.
Trying to get a greasy white dress.
And, of course, they're thinking, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Maybe we call a cab or an Uber.
Yeah. Mm.
And as a joke, Sarah sort of, you know, puts the thumb out, oh, you know.
Hitchhike.
Yep. Well, people stop. Sheila and Sam and another couple pulled over and drove them to the wedding.
How sweet. Nothing like hitching a ride on your wedding day.
Nice.
Isn't that beautiful?
And also, it's a bit of a story, isn't it? I mean, weddings that go off without a hitch, I mean, they got nothing to talk about later, do you?
That's right.
We had a lovely day. It was a lovely day. Everyone had a good time. But when something goes wrong, there's always a bit more to add to it.
Getting hitched without a hitch, eh? Hitchhiking.
Yeah, hitchhiking.
When you're doing a gig, you know, it's only the mistakes that you talk about.
Yes, these are good memories.
Is that almost a business idea? Uber wedding?
Oh, hello.
Because these people have started it.
You don't miss an opportunity, do
you? Call Stan. Yeah.
But do you start looking at this as a bit of an omen? I know some people get really panicked about their wedding day.
Oh, yes.
So some people are like, oh, if it rains, maybe this means we're not meant to get married. Or if the car's stopping me from getting there, maybe it's not meant to be.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if that prevents people from going through.
Well, I don't know. I hope it's not an omen because apparently Sarah and her, husband now, are their honeymoon was going to be a drive holiday in New Zealand.
Not with that car.
Well, give us a call if you might have been in this sort of situation. What got in the way of the wedding? What was the thing that was just really putting a bit of a dampener on the day?
Mm. Yes.
Can I bring up a wedding a long time ago?
Someone
I know pretty well. He was very, very young and stupid, and he was getting married in his early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Me.
Yep.
And Brandy got in the way. That's all I can say. Her name wasn't Brandy, but the bride-to-be drank a lot of brandy and rolled up very late. Should have been a telltale sign for yours truly to run the other way.
Also, what 20-year-old's drinking brandy?
Brandy.
Who are these people?
She was very straight.
She was a bit older.
Well, you do hear stories of people usually blokes being sort of tied to a lamppost, don't you, on their
bucks night. Yeah, yeah.
And late for the wedding. So something like that.
No, this was the wedding day. You're right. No, yeah, we'd love to hear your stories this morning.
What got in the way of the wedding? 133353.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
This morning we're asking what got in the way of the wedding after Sarah's wedding in the Swan Valley was put on hiatus for a moment when the cars taking the bridal party broke down.
A few times.
Yeah, but she stuck out the thumb and some lovely people stopped and she hitchhiked her way to her wedding.
So many romantics around. You'd always get people stopping, wouldn't
you? Absolutely.
It's the only time hitchhiking has sounded romantic.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah.
We want to hear from you. What's prevented you from, what got in the way of the wedding? John is in Mandra. John, what got in the way?
Actually, the reception centre burnt to the ground for my wedding.
Oh, dear.
That'll do it.
How soon before the wedding?
Just before the people started to arrive.
Oh, no.
John.
Jeez.
So everybody was in a mad panic. Everybody ducked off to the local supermarket and grabbed whatever they could from the local supermarket. Yeah. And we ended up having a barbie in the backyard of his place.
Well, it was a barbie, all right. All right.
And we managed to sandwich 70-odd people in his backyard.
Yeah. Hey, John, where was this? Wasn't the place in Maylands, was it, by any chance?
No, it was in Victoria.
Oh, right.
But honestly, once you do it in the backyard, then you wonder, why did we blow all that money on a reception?
They ended up getting their money back from the reception centre.
So. Oh, right.
Well, you would hope so.
Yeah, they're insured, yeah.
Thanks, John.
Imagine if Captain Paul had been there just watching that reception centre burn down and thinking about all them vol-au-vents going to ashes.
He'd get some great photos, though.
Yeah, he would, yeah. Drone, get the drone.
D's in Port Kennedy. D, what got in the way of the wedding?
It was the reception. When I came back from the hairdressers, the reception hall had been double booked.
Oh.
And the caterers were outside in their van doing the whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
But we did manage to find somewhere else, and everyone went home and bought their own alcohol, and we had a lovely time. And we've been married for 36 years.
Oh, success. Well done. You had a plan B.
Pardon? Oh, the plan B. Oh, we just managed to find a hall.
So
everyone was ringing around trying to find
somewhere.
Also, when they double book a reception, do you just fight it out with the other bride out the front? Like,
ask.
They just put you in a cage and see who gets to go?
A reality show.
Yes. Carrying on. Thanks, Dee.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dee. Well done.
Aye, aye, aye. Hey, let's go to Quinn's Rocks. Jodie, what got in the way of the wedding?
I gave my husband one job for the wedding. And that was to organise. Well, he wanted to get ready on the boat with the men, so
get ready on a boat, was that, Jodie?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes, in a boat, yes, in the Swan River. And the boat happened to break down.
Oh.
Right in the middle of the Swan River.
If it could happen, it will.
So what did he do?
Well, they had, because it was just such a really windy day as well, they had to just put the anchor down, and luckily a really nice guy come past in a tiny, tiny little tender and could take one at a time, but the guys actually had to take their suit pants and everything off because it was just blowing so much that the water was just coming in.
Yeah.
So they had to go off in their undies and that to the...
I hope
one
the photographer's
guy at a
there.
Time.
Yeah, the photos are being real.
The photographer actually got there, the videographer got there at the right time to video them.
Brilliant.
Oh, that's a keeper.
Awesome. Thanks, Jodie.
nose.
Of course the boat's going
to
break down.
Of course. The more, you know, elements you put into it, the more chances for things to go wrong.
Honestly, stick to the backyard events. Yeah, I like the backyard. Like much easier. Yeah.
Keep your pants on.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Our beloved former Lever, Big Mel, is on the line. Big Mel, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Clazy. Hello to you, Kimber and young Matthew. Always a pleasure speaking to you at Mix 94.5.
Big Mel.
Number one.
Well, it is. Welcome to Movember. Are you doing anything for men's health this month?
Well, I won't be growing a moustache, Kimber, because moustaches and world leaders have never gone hand in hand, have they?
No.
Fidel Castro, Hitler, of course. Stalin. I mean, you know, just the good ones never have facial hair. Churchill, myself. I mean, Margaret Thatcher did have a goatee, but it was just blonde. No, for men's health, I encourage all men to get out there and exercise. Get onto the rower, like Christopher Pine and I used to. Work up a lather in the morning. I know that McDonald's is a great friend of the station, so more nuggets. More nuggets into you. Get a quarter pounder and some fries. You know, it's all about balance and moderation, of course, getting your prostate checked.
Of course.
Avoid that. You've got to get it checked. I mean, you're on your own, guys, you know. The marketing colour for the prostate is brown, and nobody wants to see 1,000 children in brown ponchos run onto the MCG. We are on our own. Nice. Make the shape of some kind of male genitalia. Nobody needs it or wants it.
They want to go to that town.
A half a dozen nuggets and a prostate check. A great morning. sir,
well,
there's...
that wasn't my laugh then. That was somebody else.
Yes.
Caught me by surprise.
Sir, your son Alex, it looks like he's going to be financing the independents against Barnaby Joyce and Tony Abbott at the next election. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. You know, poor Alex, Matthew, has been at a loose end for quite a while. It's very boring being incredibly wealthy. I mean, he has, you know, what does he do? Some mergers and acquisitions in the morning, a bit of corporate raiding, and he's lived in my shadow for a long time. That's why he lives in Singapore, so he can... you know, run his own race. He's over there with his family. But by lunchtime, there's nothing left to do but go down Orchard Road, order an ill-fitting suit and go to a time of few. So he's got himself a little hobby there. Of course, it's me that's funding all of this because I hate Barnaby and Tony. And I wanted to destroy them in some kind of Shakespearean tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to know, how's Lucy going there, Big Mel?
Luce is terrific. She is my rock. She is right behind me all the way. She's the wind beneath my wings. And, you know, we had a little bit of trouble being capped in New York, as you know, because, you know, Luce had the tight-fitting leisure wear on, and it was quite revealing. But she's behind closed door, and she's doing the right thing by me. And Alex, we're out to destroy the Liberal Party. So we're just plotting. You should see the whiteboard and some of the names.
Put it all in front of you.
Yes, I might put it up on your website.
CSI Point
Piper. The Beetrooter and the Lizard Man. We'll be saying goodbye to those two very shortly.
Hey, Big Mel, always a pleasure to catch up. And on Kimber, our beloved Kimber Kale's birthday as well. It's wonderful to hear
your
voice.
Is it your birthday today?
It is, Big Mel.
Happy birthday to you. As Stevie Wonder would sing, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. And before I go, I just want to say the Mix 94.5 rocks Gosnells.
Yeah,
hey. Gosnells. Okay, bye now.
Thanks, Big Mel, our beloved former leader on Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Kimber's birthday edition.
She's a really good newsreader, but here's what Belinda missed.
Look, Belinda won't miss Kimber's birthday.
Kimber's birthday edition.
Thanks.
Hey, now Melbourne. Now, we do love it, but it's certainly one of those cities that loves to tell you just how amazingly cool they are.
They are very cool.
No doubt.
And I remember before I went to Austin in Texas, I'd been told that Austin's like the Melbourne of Texas and the coolest city. And it was great, but it was another one of those cities that constantly tries to tell you just how weird and crazy they are.
Right. Yeah,
are they trying to remind themselves as well?
I think
perhaps?
So.
Melbs?
So this, in Melbourne at the moment, there's a cafe or a grilled cafe where they've decided the coolest thing they can do is have grass, real grass, on the tables.
Real grass?
Yes.
Grass tabletops.
Grilled in Chapel Street in South Yarra or Windsor there, one in the epicentre of hipster cooldom,
pretty mm-hmm. much,
has put lawn right. on their tables.
Do you know if it's real turf or if
it is real turf?
Okay.
It yeah. is real turf.
Just cut to the size of the table.
Wow.
Just cut up and chucked on.
Now, as someone who's trying to grow lawn at the moment.
yeah. not on your tabletop.
Not on my tabletop, but I did notice one of the sort of people who wrote in was going, yeah, that's lawn as well. You know, they haven't got it together. But people have gone quite... You know, it seems
they're
like
angry.
All this sort of pent-up anti-Melbourne-ness is coming out. People going, Melbourne, what's wrong with you? You're so hipster and whatnot that you're having lawn. What about hygiene?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Or is there lawn beetle in my salad?
Well, there could be. But, you know, I'm thinking, have you never had a picnic?
Yeah,
you're
right.
It caused huge outrage, yeah. didn't it?
People like, are saying it's gone beyond just having, you know, a jam jar for your drink.
Yeah, and it was obviously right. a marketing thing because
yeah.
they were talking about, you know, it's the equivalent of going free range, basically. They're saying it was free range organic beef, and so they were trying to draw some attention by sticking the turf on the table and putting some signs in it.
Yeah, some pretty handy uses for turf, though, because I was driving around Mount Hawthorn the other day and there's a Volkswagen covered in fake lawn. If it wasn't fake, be even better.
Cool.
It was very cool.
It'd be real hot inside,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it would, yeah. Somebody's got fake lawn.
I mean, that's such a slippery slope, too, if we're going a little serious on this. If they're going, yep. our beef is all, you know, when you think, well, hang on a minute, but that all of that cattle is probably feeding on old forests that got cleared for that grass that they could, you know.
Yeah, they're going to start leading the cows in now to start eating off the tabletops.
I was going to say, do they water and mow their tabletops?
I don't know, but I love this. One guy's gone, this may actually be the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And if you know any of my mates, you'll know how big a call that is.
He's a gem.
Let it go. Let it go.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey guys, Stan Lee, the legendary writer, editor and publisher of Marvel Comics, the man, what a life. He's passed away at the age of 95. Spider-Man does whatever a spider. The man who came up with so many incredible characters but also wanted depth to the characters because he's just said a lot of the superheroes in cartoons and comic books, they just want to kill the bad guys or catch the bad guys. He wanted depth. He wanted to find out about the actual people as well.
Mm. Listen to this list of characters. Black Panther, Spider-Man, the X-Men, the Mighty Thor, Iron Man, the Fantastic Four, the Incredible Hulk, Daredevil and Ant-Man.
Huge, isn't
They're
it?
All his creations.
Isn't
and even
incredible?
If you don't follow comics or you haven't been across it, you also might have come across Stan Lee just because he's referenced in movies, he's referenced in The Simpsons.
Yeah, here we go, Simpsons.
This comic strip is lame and derivative.
I'll be the judge of that.
Oh, Stan Lee!
Creator of Marvel Comics?
Greetings, true believers.
Ooh, my heart is pounding like Thor's hammer on Dr. Doom's titanium-infused faceplate.
So cool. And just the word Marvel is so part of modern culture,
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's the cool thing about it.
Yes, and he also, look, he had a tumultuous last couple of years after he lost his wife, Joan. Mm. They were married for 69 years.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Isn't that amazing?
And 95, what a knock. And he had some great things to say over the years in interviews. He was a funny man, too.
It is such fun. Creating characters, writing stories, even doing interviews, even though I can't hear most of what the guy says to me. And when you do something that you know the fans seem to enjoy, that gives you such satisfaction, you don't want to stop.
Isn't that amazing? You know what's cool is very humble beginnings for Stan Lee. He actually was working for a division of publisher Martin Goodman's company, Timely.
Right.
And he got that job through a family connection where he was just refilling ink pots and fetching sandwiches for the artists that are working in the comic division.
Wow.
And then he began rising up the ranks of that company that did go on to become Marvel Comics.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's what he was doing, refilling ink pots.
Influenced so many people. I mean, even Gene Simmons of Kiss is a mad comic book fan, and Stan Lee was one of his heroes. Stan Lee, like Gene Simmons, wanted to be in the movies. Well, as a cameo anyway.
You know, I guess one person can make a difference. Enough said.
Yeah, Stan Lee in Spider-Man 3 there, a little cameo, nothing too challenging, but pretty profound anyway.
And I like this quote. He says that he never thought that what he did was very important and that people were building bridges and doing wonderful things in medical research. But over the years, he came to discover that, you know, the telling of stories and being part of that cultural landscape is important.
Yeah.
It is important to people,
yeah.
and we shouldn't ever, you know, forget that.
Everyone's got to play a role.
Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Think quick, win big. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
Welcome to the party for $250 in Mindarie. Peter, how are you?
Well, I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
We're very well, Peter. Welcome. We're going to give you a category and a time limit to this pressure test. You just need to provide the correct answers. And for each correct one you do give, you'll win $10. But if you get all of them, $250 is yours for keeps. Are you feeling ready today?
I am. Hopefully, we'll get the right category, we'll all be good.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yes.
That's the catch.
Fingers crossed, Peter. Now, we are putting 10 seconds on the clock. So she's a quick one. And your time will start once I've given you the category. Peter, we need you to list six characters from the TV show Friends. Go.
Phoebe, Rachel, Ross, Joey, Chandler, Monica.
Oh, you got them all, but just
sadly,
the last couple too late.
Out of time, Peter, but you did get the four in there, so we can give you $40.
Excellent.
Well done, Peter.
Thanks for that.
It was 10 seconds, so there was no chance to breathe.
You there wasn't. You were on a roll, but it was just a little late. But well done.
Going back into that memory bank's not easy, is it?
No.
That's right.
Good on you, Peter. Well played.
Thanks again for that.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for hanging out with friends here on The Big Breakfast. Peter from Mindarie having a crack there.
Yeah, of course. You know, you had your Monikas and your Ross and Rachels and all of those. Maybe Janice. You could have thrown in Janice.
And what was the name of the bloke who had the cafe?
Gunther.
Okay. Yeah, there's the only other character I can remember.
Yeah. I wasn't a big Friends person. But getting Chandler out, even though it was after the event, was a pretty good get.
It was.
Never mind. $40 for a man, Peter and Mindarie.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
It is easy to take for granted, not crazy little thing, but just simple little things in life. And that can be just enough to eat to get you through until the next day.
Absolutely.
Or until the next meal. And we, all three of us, were alarmed by the sort of the headline that popped up, you know, 4 or 5 days ago. It was last week. The Food Bank Charity, of course, the nation's biggest food relief charity, hearing that federal government funding was going to be halved. And
yes.
It disturbed all of us. And we started that discussion. We hear now that the Prime Minister has backflipped on this, but we thought we would get the CEO of Food Bank WA, Greg Hebel. Good morning, Greg, and find out what's really going on.
Good morning, guys. Yes, no, look, we're very, very excited. We're pleased to see that the Prime Minister has created a backflip, which is good. It now gives vulnerable communities a degree of certainty, which is fantastic.
Greg, lots of listeners would not know what services Food Bank do provide. Can you please share what vital roles you guys play in our community?
Yeah, I will. It's we provide over 6 million meals to the people of Western Australia on a yearly basis, but we're also running a school breakfast program. So we're providing over 18,500 children with breakfast in 450 schools, or 470 schools now, sorry, on a weekly basis. But just to explain the food bank model is, we're rescuing food that could be destined for landfill, still fit for human consumption, but can then be distributed.
Yep.
But on a reflection on the last few days, we also get funding to go out and purchase product. And that's part of our key staple program. And that's the things like pasta, rice, pasta sauce, canned baked beans and spaghetti. What we're trying to do there is to ensure that no matter who you are, you've got a regular and a regular opportunity for nutritious food, which is good.
Oh, it's wonderful, the work that you do, and I'm so glad to hear that the Prime Minister has had a second thought. There are, of course, other people doing similar sorts of work, Second Bite and Oz Harvest. Is there a problem that the money is being split between these organisations? I mean, is it possible to all work together?
Yeah, well, that's the thing that we've been trying to do for a while, and we're having some great conversations with both of those parties. But I think it's important for you, for the listeners to understand, they're picking up different foods than what we are. They're picking up non-packaged foods. So they'll go to restaurants and lunch bars and things like that. We're not necessarily doing that. We're doing the bulk stuff.
Yes.
So we're picking up, you know, pallets of product all the time and redistributing both that, fresh foods and frozen food as well. So I think there's room for all of us in the marketplace. But I do take your point. We could do work a lot more collaboratively and more efficiently about the way we do it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Greg, how tough are people doing it right now? I mean, you know, let's talk about Western Australia. I live close to a suburb called Warwick, and I talk to a lot of people at the shops at Warwick, and they're really battling right now. Is it worse than we've ever seen?
Clarzy, you're right. It is. Last year, 4 million people were food insecure. That's 18% of Australians. If you revert that back to West Australia, that's about 400,000 people every year are not sure where their next meal is coming from. And that's up from 15% the year before, so 3.6 million people. So, you know, the scary thing for us, and we put out a Food Bank Hunger Report every year, that indicates that 52% of the people we're feeding, which is tens of thousands of people every month, are the working poor. So they've actually got jobs. They're just not earning enough money to make ends meet. And I quite often tell the story, you've got three kids, you're putting them in school, and you're working on or bringing home $60,000 a year or $70,000 a year. That's a struggle. And they're the people that we are actually assisting. It's maybe not the 70,000, but it's pretty close to that mark that they are really struggling. 52%, the working poor.
Utilities racing up.
And also too, you know, I think it would be unusual for some people to hear for the first time this morning that there are kids going to school without breakfast in their bellies, that, that there's an organisation out there that needs to provide that because parents are doing it tough and are unable to feed their kids before school. And we all know no one can work without having any food in their bellies.
No, exactly. So, you know, in half an hour, as I said before, 18,500 people, our kids, will have been fed breakfast from a Food Bank school breakfast program. It's unbelievable. But as you say, it's a great opportunity to give these kids a chance to learn and to settle in a class, let alone disrupting the other children. So, we're doing the best we can, but I think it's highlighted the fact that, you know, we've just been granted a reprieve, which is fantastic. But 750,000 a year nationally, you know, we get 10% of that. That's $75,000 to buy key staples. There's so much more we need to do. So we're pleading to the local government, corporates and philanthropists to say, look, we need your help. If you can come on board, do that. At least you know it's going to the right place and the right people, which is great.
Yeah, good on you, Greg. I mean, you look at that number, 4 million out of a population of 25 million. We're great in this country at sort of moments like Anzac Day of remembering the ideas of mateship and not letting any of our people slip through the net. But when you hear figures like that, it's sobering to hear that.
Especially in the so-called lucky country.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Australia.
You talk about hunger and you automatically think third world country.
Yes. Yes.
But it's in our own back garden. I quite often say to people, it could be the person next door. Yeah. They're not about to tell you, but, you know, when you're looking at that percentage of 18% of Australians, work that out in your group of friends and also your suburb, you know. And, Claire, you make a great point, Warwick and other areas like that, people are doing it tough across the metropolitan and, more importantly, regional part of WA as well.
Of course. Well, we'll get the Premier in before Christmas, mate. 6 weeks till Chrissy. We'll get him in and we'll talk Food Bank with him.
No worries. Give us a call. I'd love to have a chat.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Heggle there, the CEO of Food Bank WA, joining us this morning. It is sobering when you hear those stories, isn't it? And you talk to people and they tell you how tough they're doing it once they get through their pride point.
Yeah, don't they? Absolutely. And if you do want to help, you can go to foodbank.org.au.
The Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. The
juice. Oh, you tell.
Couldn't resist.
Did my mum get in contact? Did she?
That's what it is.
Guys, we have lost a superstar, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
He was the co-creator of Marvel comic characters like Spider-Man, Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, X-Men, and he's died at the age of 95. And he reportedly died Monday morning after being rushed to hospital in LA for an unspecified medical emergency. But, you know, being the age 95 too, it's a long innings, isn't
Apparently
it?
Apparently he was bitten by a radioactive spider.
Peter Parker.
He probably would have loved that.
Yeah.
And, you know, from humble beginnings, he was refilling ink pots and fetching sandwiches for artists at the comics division of Timely at the time, which then went on to become Marvel characters. He just worked his way up through a family connection and then got the big gig.
There you go, producer Tom. You see, you can start at the bottom and work your way up. No problem.
Yeah.
Have you seen my toasted sandwich, Tom?
Yeah. And President George W. Bush honoured Stan Lee in 2008 with the National Medal of the Arts, and Lee received his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2011. And he just knew how to appeal to everyone.
I've tried to write stories that anybody and everybody would enjoy. I've tried to make them understandable enough and exciting or suspenseful or interesting enough for youngsters to hold their interest. And I've tried to make them hopefully intelligent enough for older people.
I notice superstar tributes coming in. Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, of course, and Wolverine himself, Hugh Jackman, all just talking about the legend Stan Lee.
Well, yeah, and he basically brought back Robert Downey's career, didn't he? I mean,
Tony
that was
Stark.
He was in a bad way.
Yep.
Well, good news, you know, for, you know, the movie industry too, because now we haven't made anything other than a Marvel film for about the last 2 decades.
Yeah.
Now, guys, GQ magazine has named their champion woman of the year Serena Williams.
Okay.
And while nobody seems to take issue with the accolade, it's the print that has offended many because GQ's cover shows an image of Serena Williams and she's looking strong and fierce as usual. And it's got the title Woman of the Year with the word woman in inverted commas.
Okay. Oh, why?
It says woman of the year.
Right.
Well, this is the thing. And with the gender digs that people often make at Serena, it seems pretty inappropriate that nobody in a meeting went, why are we labelling her woman of the year in inverted commas?
Well, maybe that's why, right? To, I don't know, to have a crack at people who do that. Do people really say that about Serena Williams? Because I look at her and I see nothing but woman.
She understands it. Serena is quoted, has been quoted before to say, look, I get it and I'm strong like a man and I have this, you know, but, you know, it just doesn't seem like it's a strange thing to put on a magazine.
Seems odd. Yeah, seems like the work experience kid did the type.
Yeah, and the magazine is their reasoning.
It's probably true.
Their reasoning is that Louis Vuitton actually hand wrote the word woman and so they've put it in quotes, but it does seem a bit strange. Neither GQ or Serena have made comment on it.
Right.
And Toy Story 4 is coming, but the wait is long. They've released a trailer to wet our whistle, but look, it's not much. We see the main characters in a ring-a-ring a Rosie all together. We got Woody, Buzz Lightyear, Jessie, Mr. Potato Head, all the standard characters, as well as a new character called Forky. And Forky looks like an arts and craft project that one of the kids has made.
Oh, yeah.
He's made from a plastic fork. And all we see in this trailer is the ring-a-ring-a-Rosie all going horribly wrong.
I really don't know Clyde.
I don't belong here! Ah! The panic is attacking me!
Oh, boy.
Golly, I'm not a toy! Ah!
Somebody get him before he pokes an eye out.
Familiar voice there, Tom Hanks.
That's all they give us.
Who's playing Forky?
I don't know who's playing Forky, actually. I'll have to check that out.
Forky might get the job.
But don't expect the film until June 2019.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's a fair way. Calm down a bit.
Yeah. You settle, will you?
And that's your daily juice.
Very good birthday, girl.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, little Johnny's attending a horse auction with his dad and he watches his dad move from horse to horse, running his hands up and down the horse's leg and rump and chest. And after a few moments, he said, "Dad, why are you doing that?" And he goes, "Right." And the dad goes, "Well, when I'm buying horses, I have to make sure that they're healthy and in good shape before I buy."
Yes.
Johnny's looking all worried. And he said, "Dad, I think Uncle Jack wants to buy Mum."
Old school. There you go.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.